Tweet at Late Debate RTE.
Hello again. Now, while our own political house is working through controversial matters today, our neighbours across the water are dealing with their own issues. A man who's lied his way out of three jobs was trying to keep his current one, and I'm joined on the line by Chief Political Commentator with the UK Independent, John Rentoul. John, I can say that without fear of writ or rebuttal. Boris Johnson is one of the few public figures you can say that about without expecting a strongly worded letter on expensive paper from a solicitor's office.
I don't really approve of it. It's insulting him. He's in enough trouble as it is without people piling in with the insults.
All right. Well, how did the hearing go for him today? He was saying that he lied, but he didn't mean to lie.
No, he didn't. He said because
the test is whether he knowingly misled Parliament, because he obviously misled Parliament because he said all the rules were followed and. We know they weren't because so many people received fixed penalty notices. But his basic argument was, you can't know the contents of my mind. I honestly believed at the time that I was what I was saying was true, and that should be enough to get him off. But he had some very uncomfortable moments in front of the committee.
Right. I would imagine the contents of his mind are somewhere between the film Gladiator and a Tom and Jerry cartoon at certain points. But what reception did he get from the committee?
Well, the Conservative members of the committee were slightly more polite to him than I expected, but they still gave him a hard time. And he squirmed a couple of times, saying he'd misremembered his briefing and used wrong words when he spoke to Parliament, saying that none of the guidance was broken. And he was unable to explain why his advisers seemed to be so worried about how things might appear to the general public if no rules were broken.
Right. And did he lose his composure, his attempt normally in a difficult situation, his attempt to switch into a humorous vein? Did we see any breach of that particular wall in front of the committee?
No humorous vein today. He even had his hair cut. He looked quite neat. He was very sober and serious for most of it. He became quite irritated and quite tetchy at times, but never actually lost his cool. But he was, he was obviously very uncomfortable about the suggestion that he was reckless as to the truth, which is where the committee was heading, I think.
Right. What are the potential consequences for him?
Well, very serious. I mean, if the committee suspends him for more than 10 days from Parliament, then there'll be a by-election in his constituency, and he'll probably lose it at the moment with the state of the Labour Party.
And is that down to the committee, or does it go to a vote of the House?
Well, it would go to a vote of the House, but it would be. The House got very badly stung when he, Boris Johnson, tried to persuade it to overturn a committee recommendation, disciplinary recommendation against Owen Paterson, the former cabinet minister. So the House is unlikely, I think, to go against the committee's advice. But I think the committee, in the end, is unlikely to impose such a severe penalty. I think actually it'd be more embarrassing for Boris Johnson if he's given a fairly mild penalty.
Right. He may have cause to be nervous if it ever did go that far to a vote of the House, in that today, when it came to a vote on the Windsor break, there were only 29 votes supporting Boris Johnson's position of opposing the Windsor framework. Shall I say, sorry, the Stormont break within the Windsor framework. It's a good day for Rishi Sunak, isn't it? He's exposed the size of the ERG rump. He's seen off Boris Johnson. He gets Brexit done and restores relations with the EU.
Any problem? He publishes tax return on a day when nobody's going to notice. He really did have a very good day. I mean, that vote in the Commons, which the committee interrupted its hearings to go and vote, and Boris made a fool of himself. I mean, his position, as you say, it had next to no support in the parliamentary Conservative Party. It's absolutely extraordinary. You've got three former leaders of the Tory party there, Boris Johnson, Liz Truss and Ian Duncan Smith, two of them former prime ministers. And they could only persuade 19 of their fellow Tory MPs to vote with them. It was a pathetic spectacle.
It includes, of course, the DUP, which is the only blip on the horizon on this for Rishi Sunak. If this ends up hardening the DUP position by him calling the vote on this too early, does this present a problem for him in the longer term, if only on the fact that the Stormont institutions won't be up and running again in time for Joe Biden's visit?
Yes, it does. But I mean, I think the DUP were a problem for him whether he had the vote today or not. I think I don't know that delaying it would have given the DUP more of a chance of coming round to voting for it. I think they've got themselves into a naysaying position, which they could possibly separate from their decision as to whether to take part in the Stormont administration again,
right?
Because that, of course, is the end point of this exercise. I don't know where the DUP is going. I mean, right. DUP politics is a law to itself.
Right. Okay. Chief political commentator with the UK Independent, John Rentoul. Thanks very much for joining us on the line this evening. Barry Ward, is it potentially a miscalculation that everybody talked, including the government here, talked about giving the DUP the space to make up its mind? Calling a vote on the Stormont break in the House of Commons has pushed the DUP into a position of opting for the safest position for the sake of their unity because it was called too early, potentially.
I don't know about that. I mean, a decision has to be made at some stage, and I don't think it's unreasonable to call a vote in a democratic chamber on such an important issue. What it has highlighted is the extent to which they are marginalised within the House of Commons, and I think there is probably I don't think the DUP for a moment is going to have regard to what I think about this, but there is an issue from their perspective for the people they represent, because this framework gives them the best of both worlds, both being part of the common market and being part of trade with the UK. So it actually is going to benefit people in Northern Ireland enormously. And the DUP is just overlooking that because I believe they're blinkered in respect of their attitude to their unionism.
All right. Mairead Farrell, there's some comfort for the DUP in that it appears the EU has as much influence in London as it does in Northern Ireland if the UK government was prepared to want to make peace with them so quickly.
Well, look, I suppose, first of all, at the end of the day, we always knew that if there was positive engagement, that a deal could be done. And I think realistically now, the negotiations are over. And what we really need and what the people of the North need is to have the executive back up and running and
delivering. Do you think this vote took sufficient cognizance of the need to sort of manage the DUP into Stormont with the space for them to save face?
Well, I think, yeah, like, I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, to me, like, you know, the people voted last May, and I was canvassing, obviously, in the North during those elections, and the people clearly voted for to have the executive up and running, and at this very moment in time, that's not the case. That means that there's a democratic deficit, I suppose, in the North at this very moment in time. What we're saying very clearly is now the deal is done, the negotiations are over, it's up to all the parties to come together for the DUP to come into Stormont and to be able to deliver, especially, like, as Barry said, the economic opportunities in terms of delivering for jobs and everything in the North is massive now, and that's what needs to be done.
Right. Duncan Smith, what do you think of the timing of the vote? If the mantra was, let's give them the space they need to make up their minds, was this a good move?
I think the DUP would occupy as much space as would be given to them in terms of delaying committing to anything. But they have to make a decision at some stage. We do need the Stormont back up and running. There's massive implications for workers up the North. We've had health workers go on strike. We've 1,700 workers in the community and voluntary sector who are in danger of losing their jobs due to the loss of European stability funding on the 31st of March. These are very real impacts that are going to impact people's ability to work, pay their rent, pay their mortgage, feed their children. The DUP at some stage will be left behind by the working people of Northern Ireland because they are just not, they're just a barrier to any kind of progress.
Well, okay, well, not so far, according to the opinion polls. We're going to leave that particular topic there.